All right, rolling on here on a Friday. Steve, Adam, Chrissy, some feedback from earlier in the show, some questions to be answered. Sunrise Hospital, the streets of San Francisco.
Just random things.
They're not random. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Yes. Sunrise Hospital was the hospital where Wild Bill got left naked.
Yes.
And
former radio guy that I knew that they dumped him off all drug-addled.
Streets of San Francisco was the show that Carl Malden was in.
Yes.
I would have just liked it to leave it as those are random questions from earlier in the show answered.
RJ Bell is with us at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Hey, RJ.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Who's Wild Bill? I thought you were talking about Wild Bill Hickok.
No. He was a radio guy that sort of stepped out of the way to allow me to break into national radio about 20 years ago.
He stepped out of the way graciously or through drug addiction?
Drug addiction.
Okay.
I mean, I was putting it nicely. He stepped out of the way. He may have been pushed out of the way, not by me, but by my bosses.
Makes sense.
You see any movies this week?
Yeah, I saw Marley's Game.
Wow. Did you like it? Because I saw, who was it, Lisa Guerrero. Remember her from Monday Night Football? Said it was so-so.
Well, I don't remember Lisa Guerrero.
You don't?
Really?
Oh, I do.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's what I'll say. It's the first movie directed by the guy who did The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin.
He's never done a movie?
He never directed a movie.
Wow, this must be good.
He's a better writer than director, though.
Well, I would agree with that because I think he's probably one of the three best writers in Hollywood. So he's not one of the three best directors yet. But I'll break the movie up quickly into two chunks. One is the gambling stuff because it's about the big Hollywood home poker games.
Really? Right? Oh, wow.
That's the premise. It's the old, and I'll say allegedly, Tobey Maguire and all that stuff that was going on in L.A., and this Molly Bloom is the one who was running the games. And then there's the story, you know, not the gambling, but the story. The gambling was done fine, but again, with cards, you can only make turning over, you know, a deuce on the river so dramatic, right? So that's fine, but nothing special. I thought the idea of what the gambling represented to the big movie stars, to the big businessmen, where the movie stars just wanted to prove they were smart and the businessmen wanted to hang out with the movie stars and everyone was flirting with Molly. Just the dynamics of power that were going. And Molly in real life was an Olympic level skier that fell in the trials and didn't make the Olympics. So she was trying to redeem herself. I thought on the idea of life aspirations and power dynamics, it was quite, quite good. If you like gambling movies, I would recommend it.
I'll watch it. Movies I'd recommend, and I did this week, and they got rave reviews from some of our pals. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which was award-winning at the Golden Globes with Best Actress. And I'm going to throw this out there. Ready for this? I sort of ripped on what the possibilities were for I, Tonya. I watched it last night. It was good.
Oh, that's on most. I mean, that's probably the sixth or seventh most well-reviewed movie of the year. So it makes sense. I haven't seen that yet. I saw Three Billboards. The ending, I won't give anything away, but it was...
Yeah, what'd you think? You like it or not?
Loved the ending.
Okay.
One of the great endings in memory for me. Colin actually talked about the ending, and apparently his co-host thought he gave too much away. So I won't say anything other than good on the ending. If you actually are interested, read up. There's a huge amount of liberal backlash. I don't know if Adam's involved in this, but where they felt like that the people who acted poorly in the movie, let's say, and Adam's kind of term, I think problematic. Is that the phrase you people use, Adam?
Me, us people.
Yeah, you,
sure.
Yeah.
The
social justice warrior. Are you a social justice warrior?
I'm half in.
Okay. So you people use the phrase problematic, right?
Sure.
Okay. So they felt like it was problematic, and like there's this huge backlash, like, oh, you can't support this movie because the dastardly people we don't like didn't get enough pain.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Steve, the fact you liked that movie, that might be an indictment, Steve.
Which way?
The fact that you didn't think it was atrocious that the evil people didn't get enough pain.
No, I pick up on nuance. I pick up on nuance, you know.
You're saying Adam doesn't?
No, because I also don't believe Adam is an SJW to the truest level, where it's just outrage in one direction all the time.
Yeah, I get outraged when it's really there.
When you think it deserves outrage.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I only saw The Disaster Artist this year of the top movies, and I loved it.
You did?
Yes.
You know, I like Franco. Again, now Franco's in trouble, right? But I love Franco's ambition. You know, the fact that a movie star like that will, like, do multiple Lifetime movies, I think is so cool, because he's figuring I can do anything I want, right? You know, because it's a Lifetime movie. But I actually was a little disappointed in The Disaster Artist. I thought Ed Wood, very analogous to Ed Wood, and you know, which was, I think, the late 90s now. Yeah. But if you liked it, have you seen Ed Wood?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
It was fine.
Not as good as The Disaster Artist.
I really liked The Disaster Artist.
Oh, wow.
We'll have a little more on that. You won't be around, but I wanted to tease ahead, too, for further details on I, Tonya and The Disaster Artist.
Yes.
So that's coming up probably around 5:45 today. All right, let's break down these football games. You're fired up to do it after the movie talk, or you want to do another 10 minutes of movie talk? I know you love movies.
We're making them wait for what they want. Let's give it to them.
Okay. Falcons, Eagles. First of all, no one should be surprised that the Falcons are the favorite in this, right?
No, John Kincaid, Atlanta radio guy, old friend of mine, asked me on Twitter the night of the game, what's the opener? I said, pick them. So, you know, to me, I don't think Philly could have been favored, but I'm surprised it's 3.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So what have we learned throughout the week? What do we think about this game?
So let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
If Wentz was healthy and playing, what's your line?
1.5, Eagles.
Boy, that blows my mind. So
you think he's worth, like 6?
I think it'd be 7. The Rams were 6.5 at open, right?
Yes, but that was a terrible number.
Well, why? Because they lost every time the every.
Come
time
on, you knew that was a bad number. You were on. Everyone was on the Falcons.
Yeah, I liked. Well, I don't know about everyone. I liked the Falcons in that game, but I think the number got fair action. I mean, most people thought the Rams were clearly better. And remember, the Rams were getting a lot of love. So my point is, you could make the case this is a 10-point adjustment from Wentz to Foles. And the only quarterback in NFL history that ever caused a 10-point adjustment was Aaron Rodgers. So, and Foles is a better backup than Hundley. So the idea that Wentz is the best quarterback in NFL history just doesn't make sense to me.
Wow, so you think this, when you say 10-point adjustment, it could have been, if the Eagles had rolled through the end of the season, I guess you're right from a perception standpoint, power rating standpoint, they may have been 6 or 7 at home again, just like the Rams were against the Falcons, yeah?
Well, I can't imagine, I mean, the Eagles were the number one seed. The Rams were the 4th seed. The idea that the number one seed's not better.
Yeah.
I mean, with their quarterback, right?
Right, right. I guess I never bought into the fact that the Eagles were some dominant franchise or dominant team this year over. I just think the NFC is so deep. All right, so what are the biggest factors here? Is it rest? Is it motivation? You know, is it being dissed by the number? How do we give the Eagles a chance in this game?
You know, we talked about this in the Dream Preview, which is there's a public side and a difficult side to bat. And on the public side, if you lose, you're going to have an excuse. It's like, oh, you know, Ryan didn't play as well as I expected. Or, man, can you believe that defense gave up, you know, blah, blah, blah. Where with Philly, you can see how you're going to lose without an excuse. And that's scary. Meaning if Foles plays a little below average, they probably don't cover. And thus, that's scary. It's much better to think if everything goes the way it's supposed to, I'm going to cover. So to me, it's a lot of psychology. The Falcons are clearly the better team. It's a road game, so they don't have to lay a big number. And the public's saying, oh, it's almost pick the winner and Falcons are better. But it's not pick the winner. It's +3. And at that number, I think there's pure value on the Eagles. One last thing about the game. Falcons, this is going to be their 4th road game in 5 weeks. And the last game, as everyone knows, was all the way to the West Coast, back, now to Philly. I think we've got a fatigued team in the Falcons versus a rested Philadelphia team that's had 2 weeks to have Foles focused on taking a step forward, because obviously he's underperformed expectations in his replacement so far.
Second game on Saturday is Tennessee, New England. Patriots laying 13.5. Do we lean on yards per play in this game? I know that's a favorite of the wise guys, because if that's the case, Patriots, not that great.
No, and New England's the one team, and Belichick's the one coach, that the way they win isn't really understandable by wise guys. Like, you can't say, oh, with the Patriots, you got to consider this or that more. It just doesn't make sense. Their net yards per play are usually decent but not great, and they're usually the best team in the NFL. Even the years they don't win the Super Bowl, they've been the best team most of those years. So I think you've pretty much got to throw out yards per play. It is important to realize that last year the Patriots were much better yards per play. So, yeah, they still weren't the best in the league last year, but they were much better. So it does feel like there's a regression. I personally think Brady is fading at the end of these years. First 10 weeks of the season, he had 2 interceptions. Last 6 weeks, he's had 6 interceptions. And, you know, you might say that's only one stat, but if you actually look back the last couple years, he has faded at the end of the year. I don't think it applies that much this week because he has a bye. But I think next week you might wonder, okay, he's getting now to game 18. And last year he only played 15 games, remember, because he was suspended. So it's been over 2 years since he played over 15 games. So he's in uncharted territory, being 2 years older now, because obviously between 38 and 40 is a big typical drop-off for NFL quarterbacks.
That's RJ Bell with us here on a Friday. You can get probably 15 minutes each on these games tonight straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio National, also on Fox 1340. Let's move to the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game, because as a Steelers fan, you're well aware of some of the drama, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on. Does that play in? They're laying 7. We've got reports of Big Ben and Haley not getting along, and publicly we saw Le'Veon Bell mention his salary again.
I mean, to me, I'll be honest, it really takes the fight out of you as a fan. I mean, the idea that you got to be talking about your salary when the playoffs are starting, I mean, honestly, I get it, I'm in my mid-40s, I was never a world-class athlete, I can't relate to these players. I mean, so I'm not going to judge them. But what I know is this, is there's softball competitions in this city with people with pot bellies that probably people care about winning enough these softball games or, you know, tournaments or whatever, that they're going to say, you know, I've got a problem with this guy, but I'm going to wait until after the season. And
so you think the weekend warrior has more discipline and understands the team dynamic over a Le'Veon Bell?
Or right. Maybe it's I can relate to the way they attempt to win.
Oh,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe this is, and I'm trying to be open-minded with Adam on. I don't want to get, you know, do anything problematic.
He's typing away right now.
Is he? Okay.
He's sending out tweets of outrage.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I don't understand. Do you think obviously there's something wrong with the Patriots with internal dynamics, right? I mean, however much you believe that story, there's never been a story written like that in this whole time. So there's something to it, most likely. And do you hear Brady talking about it? They're putting out joint statements, and they understand why make it a story. So to me, and again, it's easy to sit and judge millennials. Literally in the Bible, I'm no authority on the Bible, but literally in the Bible, there's older people complaining about the new generation. Right? 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So I get it. Things change. But this idea of, you know, the social media world where people getting attention is the currency that matters the most. And usually if you win a Super Bowl, you get attention. But if you decide you're going to complain about something, you get attention automatically. So it kind of makes sense, maybe these younger players are willing to sacrifice distraction for attention. But to me, as a guy that wants to care about the team, it makes me care less about my team.
So you're taking the Jags plus seven.
I'm close to betting it, but I would do it on the money line. Because if I do believe there's value on Jacksonville, there's going to be a certain percentage of games they actually have the lead, and they play so much better with the lead because Bortles doesn't have to throw in that spot. Doesn't have to throw much, might be the way to say it, that I would rather take a 3-1 at even than a plus 7.5.
Vikings laying 5 against the Saints. Do we believe in Case Keenum? Can he do this in the playoffs? And does playoff experience matter with quarterbacks? Obviously, Breeze is the experienced guy between the two of them.
Yeah, if you actually, and I tweeted this out today, is the 4 experienced quarterbacks against the inexperienced quarterbacks. And if you combine it, you've got 75 playoff starts versus 3, 133 touchdown passes in the playoffs versus 5. So this is the most disparity ever between 4 teams or 8 teams, 4 matchups when it comes to quarterback playoff experience. Keenum's the only inexperienced quarterback that's favored. And, Steve, I think you hit upon the key question. If you believe Keenum's performance this year is his now true level, then you've got to bet the Vikings. If you believe Keenum's career is his true level, I think you've got to bet the Saints. And we can talk home field advantage and all kind of other things, but that question is so big, it's probably worth 3 or 4 points. It dictates who you play. One last thing, I think Zimmer is one of the 5 best coaches in the NFL, but I uncovered this. I thought this was fascinating. The last time Sean Payton won a playoff game was last weekend. The last time Zimmer was on a staff that won a playoff game was 21 years ago. He's coached 24 NFL seasons since. This is the 21st, but it's incomplete. In those 20 full seasons, he made the playoffs 10 times, 0-10 straight up.
Wow. One last point on that. You count on Payton before last week's game because I was saying that, hey, Payton is out of control now. He's doing choke signs to players. He's tripping officials. He's popping their cutter in the chest. And you came back with what about Payton in terms of focus?
Well, listen, this is Bill Simmons' theory, is the year of Bounty Gate where he was suspended, he got a taste for being retired. Right? You got millions of dollars. You know, what is he, 55? I mean, he's moving towards 60, right? So you got millions of bucks. You're moving towards retirement age. Maybe you put in 45 hours a week instead of 75. And I think a lot of whispers have been around that Payton's doesn't have the same vigor he had beforehand. The fact that he's seemingly so animated on the sidelines might speak to him thinking, you know, Breeze is about on his way out. I could be on my way out if I choose. Win one more. I mean, think about how much better regard would we as the media, as society, hold the Saints in this era, Breeze and Payton, if they win another Super Bowl?
It's a big deal.
I mean, it goes back to Ric Flair, right? When he won the second title, he said, you know, he won once and then he gave it back like in 4. You know, obviously it's, you know, booking committees and all that, but it was, he said when he won his second, he said, listen, this was me knowing it wasn't a fluke. And
yeah, love that.
There's been NFL champions. Look at the Ravens. Right now, I'm a Steelers fan, so it's easy to point. But you look at the Ravens and say, man, they had to win 3 road games. Hey, they got hot, or they had to win 4 road games, I guess, if you count the Super Bowl. They got hot, give them credit, but that wasn't a team you're going to look back with any great fondness. And if they don't win another Super Bowl, it's going to be hard to say Flacco is an all-timer. You're going to say Flacco was a mighty good quarterback. You win a second one. Look at Eli. How much different do we look at Eli because of that second title? So I think the Saints are as motivated as any team because of what it means to their legacy.
And by the way, RJ, the original younger generation was Cain and Abel, so it was probably fair to complain about them.
Exactly. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Showing
off my Bible knowledge.
Did you have that immediately, or did you think that?
My name is Adam.
Ah.
Yes.
I was first man.
There's a great. You ever hear the Springsteen song "Adam Raised the Cain"?
No.
Good sign.
We'll check it out. RJ, we'll talk to you.
Thank you.
There you go. RJ Bell, pregame.com, @RJ in Vegas.